Approval of the agenda?
Move to approve the agenda as printed.
Second?
I'll second.
Approval of the minutes, June 20th, 2018. I don't know about anybody else, but
I was a mistake in there.
Yeah.
What was it?
It was down
I can't,
in
I can't be vice president and secretary of both.
Well, you could. What's wrong with you, Lester?
For vice chair.
Secretary treasurer, vice president.
That was a mistake I caught too. That's the vice chair.
Right. You guys got it?
Yep, for the motion.
Ross and Danny motioned to close the nomination of Kathy Ballot for Jansen as vice chair.
Jansen as vice chair, yeah.
It should be Hood.
Right. Okay.
It should be Hood.
Right.
I got a good chuckle out of that.
All right.
Any other catches anybody had on those at all?
Good catch.
Thank you.
If not, could have a motion to approve the minutes?
So move.
I'll second.
Public comment, communications, building update. Bob isn't here. Is there anybody else with building update?
I don't have anything. Obviously, you can see the bricks going up good. So I think they were going to be pouring our floors before too long if they haven't done. Have you been in there?
They're in there Friday. It's looking pretty good. They've got it framed up. They plan to start drywalling shortly.
Sounds good. Shane, as you remember, is the IT director.
Yes, sir.
Do you have anything that you want to say on the building update as far as IT?
No, other than we did the walkthrough, and we got all those changes submitted. So now it's just a matter of getting everything drywalled, and then we should probably do another once-over just to make sure everything's. It's better to catch it early than after everything's all up and painted.
And I wasn't at the construction meeting. Did anything come up there?
The first set of construction meetings I wasn't at either because we were looking at the security systems.
I did know the security committee was meeting on the building last week, so that would involve me, but I know that they were looking at that. And then we were going to look at some window coverings, too. We have to have some kind of, hopefully not these things, that get old, but we were looking at just some kind of a very light, I think, mesh thing that you can kind of see through, but that will cut the layer.
They're big windows.
Yeah, they are big windows, and they don't look as big from the outside, but when you get in there, they're quite big. So yeah, it's going to be, especially with that afternoon sun all afternoon. But it will be nice. I don't have my, I won't have my air conditioner blocking out the sun before me, so.
Well, what are you going to do?
I do now.
Have an umbrella in
I know, I probably will be I'll probably be like a mole out in the sunlight. I won't know how to react.
It's just some shade.
Yeah.
Going to your office and you're wearing dark glasses. I don't know, one of those days.
Is it pretty much on schedule as far as what they're planning?
As far as I know.
Yes.
As far as I know.
Yeah, and with the weather being so good, we really haven't had that much rain lately, so they should be doing
moving right
quite
along
well. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're still looking at, probably the end of December, the first week in January to be moving in. But, I think they're...
We're still pouring concrete at the core of the jail, and I know they want to get the roof on so they get the... air conditioner is going to try to draw some of the moisture out of the building.
Yeah.
So probably in the next couple weeks that'll be occurring.
And then you're going to need, what you said, two, three months lead time? So,
yeah. It'll take 3 months to get the IT portion up and running. Get everything configured. We want to make sure everything's well tested.
Right.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, before we start putting people in the building and you depend on it. So.
Yeah. And
yeah,
the jail won't be moving over at the same time. I'm assuming the plan is still that we will move before the rest of them do. But
yeah, social services, and you will be moving first. As far as
the state actually requires the jail to have a transition period in there, and which makes sense.
Makes sense. Yeah,
transition is moving what they have for inmates up here down here.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously they got new phone system, new 911. That's all going to have to be tested very well. So
yes, and we're
Shane's
working on
probably
going
to have a few nightmares over that.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. There's a lot of moving parts. So
yeah.
There it is.
But 2019 is really incredible.
Yeah. One of the first weeks at our new, when the new prison went in Boston, all the doors open, all everything. All the inmate doors open.
That is great.
While they were in them? Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Not really a glitch you want to have happen.
No.
Especially at that time when it was, it was a super bad.
Yeah.
Especially what they had in
them. Yeah.
Yeah.
They brought that elite bunch down there to find out.
I don't think it lasted for very long, and I'm not sure that they were even aware, you know.
Oh, really?
But they did have a glitch.
They discovered they could communicate through the air ducts.
So we don't want any glitches.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Trying to avoid that.
Like I said, it's looking good. I mean, at least it's starting to look like a real building.
Right.
For a while there, it was that big old purple dinosaur out there.
I kind of like that color. It was different.
It was great for our dementia month.
Right.
They've been back in here. It feels like sometimes they're going to come right through the wall, doesn't it, Courtney?
Yes.
Courtney's, the women in those offices up there, there's been a few times it literally, like, you can feel it shaking in the building. And it's kind of like, oh!
They're back in a gravel depository roller.
Are they tearing this building down?
Yes. That is the plan. And I don't know when the plan is for a walkthrough as far as the furniture. Do you, either of you know that? Has that been? Okay. Yeah, I see that will be Dale.
We hadn't got a meeting set up here as far as I know.
Okay. They are going to do a walkthrough. I already did have a plan in place for what we're taking, what we're not taking, but the committee... Ad hoc committee, building ad hoc committee is going to come through and kind of take a look at that as well. So if people have concerns about it, then Dale can say, I've been through there. She has a plan. So I don't know. I'll let you know when that's happening. Dementia care specialist, Pam did have a report, and I didn't print it off this morning. I think she sent me one. So I will print that off before you leave. But she's been working in Boscobel. A year ago, when Whitney was still here, we had a big kickoff meeting for a dementia-friendly community of Boscobel. And then 2 weeks later, Whitney had resigned and moved to Montana. So it kind of got off track, and so we've been trying to get it back on track. And so Pam has been down there. She's done. She's trained a couple community leaders, Michelle from the pharmacy, and Janine Richardson, who's a retired RN, to do some dementia-friendly training with businesses. So they've started that a little bit. I know Michelle has done World of Variety. I think maybe Janine has done Krogan's. I'm not sure. So we had a meeting the other day to kind of look at where we want to move forward. So we're going to continue with the business training for dementia-friendly businesses, and then we're going to have another meeting and try to have like a bigger kickoff event. We're hoping that maybe we can get Martin Schreiber is doing one in Dodgeville, and so we're hoping that maybe we can get him to come down to this end of the state and do a little event around dementia. He wrote a book about his wife called My Two Elaines, and you have it.
Yeah,
right
they've
there.
Handed it.
Yeah,
out.
So we're thinking we might expand that a little bit, see if we can get him or something like that to kind of kick off. So we're going to be focusing on that and just trying to really make sure that people understand dementia within the community. They know who to contact if there's an issue. And already, it's just funny how people start identifying right away people that they've been concerned about for years, and what should we do about this, and what should we do about that person, And basically, my response, if you get that from people, is just have them call the ADRC. While we're not Adult Protective Services,
right,
we will kind of assess and get them in touch if we think it needs adult protective services, or we'll see if there's other things that, that we can do with
it. Is there ongoing training on that then? So if they have a turnover of staff, that they can train new staff, or how does that
work? For adult protective?
No, for
For the dementia, yeah. I think she will probably train a few more. I mean, the nice thing, like with Michelle Farrell from the pharmacy, is, you know, she's probably not going anywhere for a while. She's the she owns the pharmacy
right, yes.
in town. But yeah, we will be looking at, I think we'll be identifying a few more people to train. And I know they want to get the salons trained. They like to do some dementia friendly with the beauty salons, because oftentimes they are a place that sees, they're some of the first ones that see when people are having issues, because many of these ladies in their 80s and 90s don't miss a hair appointment, so that's just the way it is. So, and then looking at the clinic and the banks and things like that. So, we had a good turnout. We had, at the meeting the other day that we had the police department was there, the city clerk was there, we had one of the banks, the hospital, the pharmacy. Who else? Janine was there. Trying to think who else was there. There's a couple more people that I can't remember offhand, but we had a pretty good turnout as well.
Are you going to do this for other communities too, or is...
Yes, well, they've done, she, Whitney had led quite a big movement in Platteville, so Platteville's really had quite a bit of it. So Boscobel was the other one we're targeting. Pam is four counties wide, so she's got other communities too. So that's why we're not spreading it out everywhere in Grant County yet, because there's only one of her in four counties. So so they kind of went with where the interest was, and Platteville took off right across the bat at the beginning, and obviously it's our biggest community.
Right.
So we started with them, and then there was an interest in Boscobel as well, so then they kind of went that direction. Figured they covered the south and a little bit of the north.
Right.
So yeah, we will be expanding that to others kind of as we go. So. And we'll try to hit most of them that weekend, and anybody who's interested, I mean, any of the businesses that are interested, I think once work kind of gets out a little bit too, then people are like, okay, well, they did it, so we better do it, because, you know, you'll want to look good, and that's a good way to get, you get one bank on board, you tend to get the other banks on board, and same with the hardware store. I think if they know Krogan's is doing it, then we'll probably be more inclined to do it too. But like I said, it's interesting, because when you start talking about it, it's almost identified immediately. They've got a couple people in mind already, of customers that they're working with that they've got some concerns about. So that's already come up. So it happens a lot more than you think. So.
Any other questions on that at all?
And I will pass out her report too.
Advocacy reports and activities, ADRC board meeting.
Dale,
Lori, and I were there. You guys want to share anything?
Well, I guess I can start. maybe the first thing, Greene County has a new director, Amber Russell. She's actually worked there for 10 years, probably.
Yeah.
She's got some big shoes to fill behind Linda, but Amber knows her stuff, and she's good at what she does. So I think she's fine.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
And Linda retired after 38 years or something. I don't know how many years it was, but it was a lot.
She said too, but I don't remember. We were planning on having a joint meeting with Eagle Country, that's our brothers and sisters to the north, in October. But we've changed that due to the election, and I believe they said they were looking at March.
Yeah, March 2019.
So that's more to come on that. We have We weren't getting into them surveys here.
Oh, I think you guys have already kind of... They are going to do... They took the surveys that I had given people earlier for the aging plan, and I think I passed them out to you guys, and now they're going to use them for ADRC. Yeah. ADRC has to collect some information, too. I'm really not quite sure where they can just use... It's all been done in the same year, but...
That's kind of what I wanted.
I think we'll give them, because we've got like 99 of them for a while. I think not quite 100, but 99 of them stuck out, so... And I thought we would collect some at Elderfest again, too. So every so many years, ADRC has to look at unmet needs, what's happening out in the community that is an unmet need with older people, so, and people with disabilities.
Yeah, I know we kind of got to that here, but I
find it. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think everything else was pretty much just... You know, day to day stuff.
I think so too. Did you have anything
else? No, that's pretty much the same thing I had too on there. Anybody have any questions? Okay. Funding legislative reports?
I don't have a whole lot right now because I think I gave you stuff last time, but I did pull up one of the things that's getting attention in the legislature, and it was. A platform of the Wisconsin Advocacy Network was social isolation being detrimental to older people's health, and they found that people who are isolated actually have more Medicare costs than people who are not. So I just have an article here if anybody wants to take a look at it. I'll pass it around. It's by ART, but it's really becoming kind of a known factor that these people just they have more, you know. That isolation is really detrimental not only to mental health, but also just to your physical health as well. So, and we are speaking with legislators about it, which is one of the, you know, reasons, if you remember the statistics, I think it was like one in three of our Meals on Wheels said that the driver that brings the meal is the only person they see all day. So that's pretty, you know, that's pretty significant. So, again, hoping that we can make like the MCOs and family care understand that too, is, you know, they're tied to budgets as well, and it's such an issue when they're trying to pull back on a budget. You know, people start doing better with their outcomes because they're getting meals, and then because of that, when they do the functional screen, they pull back on that, and then they lose, so now they're more isolated again, and it's kind of a rat race or a circle that I think is unfortunate. So I do think as you're talking with legislators, that is one of the key areas to focus into is isolation. So. That's all I have on that.
Okay, ADRC Aging Conference.
The Aging Conference, I can't ever seem to get the dates. Okay, it is the 12th through the 14th. So if anyone here is interested in attending for a day or a couple of days, let me know. We don't have anything but the save the date on it. They do not have the workshops out yet, which is driving me crazy. Because I think they should be out by now.
They should be, but.
But
is
I
this August?
It's September. September 12th through the 14th. And it is at the Kalahari. The Dells. So if you're interested, you can let me know at the end of the meeting, and I will get more information to you and try to reserve a room if you want to stay overnight, or if you're interested in going up for a day. They usually do have kind of like an ADRC board workshop, but having not seen the workshop schedule, I can't be for sure on that. So as soon as we get it, I will let you know, and I can even send it out to you. So. And it's not something you have to do, but it's something that you're interested in doing. There's usually a few people from the regional board that usually go. Dave, I think you've been in the past.
I went one time when I first was here.
Used to be that our aging side from GWAR would have one every year, and then ADRC would have one on the opposite years, and now they're trying to kind of combine them a little bit, so which is probably better, but... It's obviously slowing things up because they don't have it out yet.
In long living meetings, there's one with Martin Schreiber that they have, and then there's one, a Fall Mental Health Summit that's down at Pratt Hill at the
yes.
Bells and Commons. That is October 23rd from 9 to 3:30. So I don't know if you guys want me to pass that on and take a look at it.
Sure. And I do have that on my schedule. The Fall Mental Health Summit, Southwest CAP got $1 million grant, I think, to do some work around behavioral health, mental health issues in this area. So they've been, I don't know, I think the kickoff meeting was, gosh, was it a year ago? Longer? I can't even remember how long it's been. So they're looking at trying to plan addressing some mental health needs in this area for the future. So it is a huge, it's a huge problem. I mean, we just don't have the resources out right. here to handle all the mental health needs. So.
Anything else on any of that?
Nope. Thanks for sharing that.
Number 7, disability benefits specialist, filling that vacancy. How's that going?
Well, I can't do anything until today after you guys approve it, and then I can screen apps and set something up. Angela Forseth, our disability benefits specialist, took a job with Social Security. So lucky Social Security, bad for us, but she definitely has a wealth of knowledge, and so it was just, we weren't going to win that one. So, but we're very happy for her, and she's going to do a really good job over there. So, but it is a position that we do need to fill.
Right.
It's pretty important here. We have an elder benefit specialist that works with 16 above, and Angela, the disability benefit specialist, works with 18 to 59. So we are trying to fill in right now with Iowa County and Lafayette County helping out. But sooner I can get that filled, the better. But I need approval from this committee to do it.
So what do you need? A motion?
I need a motion to fill
that position.
I'll make the motion.
Yes.
I'll second.
Thank you.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed?
Do you have any kind of timeline?
The apps were actually through Friday, so I'm going to collect them today. I have to make sure I wanted all my ducks in a row. This is why this got scheduled as early as it did, too. So I will be screening today and taking a look at them. So we'll be working on that pretty shortly here. So.
Will I do about interviews?
You can see how many you need to screen. Is there anybody that wants to is the council, anybody here interested in sitting on this?
When are you doing this?
I'm not sure yet. We'll have to look at how many we're actually going to
okay.
to interview. Mary Mesmer will be part of that, and myself.
Okay.
Have you guys in the past usually done it for OPEC? Okay.
Yeah, we used to anyway.
Yeah.
Different committees we said.
Yeah.
Depending on schedule, I'd be interested.
Okay.
Depends on what else they have going on.
Anybody else? If Dave is, you would be. Okay. All right. I'll see what we can come up with here. I'm hoping to do it as soon as we can, but obviously I got to give people a little bit of lead time too. I don't want to make them so close that people can't get off in order to attend. We'll see how many can screen. So.
You have to advertise.
What's that?
You still have to advertise for it.
Well, we did advertise because
yes,
I got permission from Dave.
Yeah.
I got permission from Dave to advertise.
Well,
see,
I thought it was so the ad.
Yeah. We can. It's a strange little rule, but if I get permission from the board chair, we can advertise it, but we can't.
So,
we
no.
can't do the
that's
hiring process
hire.
Until
yeah.
after the board
yeah.
approves it. So after this committee. Yeah, so we got it advertised. I got it in right away. So yeah, so I can literally screen apps this afternoon right after you guys made the decision.
Any idea
so.
How many you got so far?
Last week we had about 6.
Mm-hmm. That's a good number.
Perfect. Yeah, I wasn't. We'll see. I'm hoping that we get a few more in that were.
12.
Yeah.
How many
this
want
one,
did they advertise for? They have 42.
This one, I think, because it's more specialized. We don't get as, I'm hoping that we have a few more, so, but.
Yeah, it would be nice to have more to choose from.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, if we don't have a good base, we may re-advertise it and try to reach out to a few more places, so. Because I'd rather have a good base to choose from than just pick what you got, because that's not always. I've done that in past years when I've been in trouble, you know, throughout my work life when I really needed somebody, and that usually doesn't work out as well as you'd like it to. So.
6 months down the road, you're looking again.
There's.
But then on the other hand, if you get an exceptionally good one, they'll end up from.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and that's what happened with Angela. She was, you know, very good. And,
we've lost a couple of
Madison. Yep. So that's the way it goes.
How long was Angela here?
She was here 5 years. And then I think she'd been in Iowa County at least one. So
she did a good job.
But her dream job was a federal job at Social Security. So, you know, it doesn't get any better than that, I guess.
Probably feel safer over there with the
arms. With the arms guard. I told her, though, she's not going to have a pretty office like she'd have had over here.
With security right across the hallway.
I also told her the board might not accept her resignation, and she might have. I tried. I pulled out all the big guns.
Tried everything you could.
I did. I tried everything, but no. There's a little bit of an increase in pay, I think, over there, too. So, she's very good. She's very good. We wish her all the best. So. And I told her from here on out, we're just sending everybody to Social Security. So.
Number 8, Transportation Resolution 85.21.
So, it probably looks like I'm jumping the gun on these, but because of our... If we go every other month, I'm a little concerned that I might forget these. And I usually bring them in August, and I'm not sure yet whether we have an August meeting, so just wanted to get them on the table. We typically submit an 85-21 grant November, December, and same with 53-11 and 85-20. So I will just talk briefly what these are because Joanne's new. So the 85-21 is a DOT grant. And it basically funds our bus program, it funds our volunteer driver escort program, and some of the money also goes into our taxi program. And it has a 20% match on it, so we typically get about $121,000. It's Monday. Typically get about $121,000. I think it's been up to as far as high as maybe $124,000. So a 20% match on that usually is about $24,000 if I do the math right. Like I said, it does fund those three. Then I'll talk about both of them in that context. And then the 5311 is also DOT, it's federal transit money and some state money thrown in there as well. And that has been put towards our taxi programs. In the past, we have run a Grant County taxi in Lancaster, Fenimore, Boscobel. And then we've also run the Dodgeville taxi. A few years ago, the board started talking about letting go of the Iowa County taxi. It does present challenges for us in terms of supervision and somewhat. The board did, I think, make a decision within the last year, I don't remember the exact date, to give that up. I'm still trying to get information out of DOT, how that affects the grant and what we do with it, and they can't seem to give me that information. They seem to just kind of bypass that all the time. So we will be looking at that, and I'm going to try to... Going to probably have to call them directly, but Ben Vondra has now left. In the 5311 world in DOT, they seem to stay about a year and a half, and then they're gone and they move somewhere else in the state. So I'm trying to get some more information on that. So that could come back to you depending on if we think we need to do any more money. Typically, there's been no county levy money in the Dodgeville one. And from what Chad told me, we wouldn't necessarily lose that grant. So there's been $11,000 from the state that we took and put into the Dodgeville taxi. I don't know any of the history on this. I don't know if either of you two knew the history on this.
I don't remember. I know that there was always a, well, I shouldn't say conflict, but it was always brought up in conversation about it. It was kind of iffy to continue that.
And I think probably at some point they thought, you know, they were looking for regional stuff and maybe, I don't know. I'm not sure how it came about. I do know that Iowa County is looking at keeping the taxi. They're investigating ways how they're going to do that. I think the city is willing to put some money into it, but the city doesn't want to run it. Phil, our employee there, has done an excellent job. I mean, he really has increased ridership. He's done a great job. But again, it's just been something that's been discussed here many times about getting out of it. And it really became an issue when we lost, before we hired Phil, and we had a long period of time where we couldn't fill the position, and then it's a real hassle. especially when you're not close, you don't have somebody close, and then you're starting somebody new, and I'm over here, and they're over there. And so I will keep you informed as to how that works. But typically both grants have been something that we've applied to in the past. We don't use any aging money. Some counties put in some dollars from their aging program. We have not. We get quite a bit from the DOT on both of these to manage these entities. The other thing I will be looking at based on how, if they can tell me how these grants play out, is if we need to expand, you know, in Grant County, and if we can. Because 5311 has always been tied to communities with a certain amount of population. Mm-hmm. So you can't just put it into an area that falls, I think it's, I want to say 3,000. So I got to look at that. I can't remember. I can't remember it's 2,500 or 3,000. So we can't just have it kind of be everywhere, but we need to look at that and see if we want to expand that or offer, you know, because right now we run it 4 days, so we're 2 days in Lancaster, then a half day in Fenimore and a half day in Boscobel, and then vice versa. My guess is the reason she ran it that half day and half day was then you could count the population from those two communities and it met the population needs. So I need to see about
that's
that.
That's really a shame because it's like the smaller communities that really need
that. Could
that.
Use it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't disagree with you there.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, yeah. But I, yeah.
Oh, no, yeah, the problem was too. If one was the population, there are more of them.
Right,
yeah.
I mean,
right.
You'd be driving around, you know, for 2 hours and before you get to your right, your passion.
Yeah.
Too much. Too much road time for one of the mountain crew.
So I will look at that and we'll see if, you know, if there's anything we can do there, I will bring it back to this committee. But again, 8521 is great. We get John Swissler at DOT. He's been there. He knows everything. He's very easy to get to. But 5311 is just a little trickier because they all keep moving around. So I will keep you informed on that. But the resolution needs to go here, and then it needs to go to the full county board. So again, I just wanted to get it here early so that I don't forget, and then we don't get grant approval to do it.
Is there action we need to take on that?
Yes, yes, okay. Yeah. And then I actually have you sign a resolution. I'm not sure why these require resolutions, but
do we have to do them separately, or can we do them?
I would do them separately because you will sign them separately.
Okay. So we have a motion on the first one for the 8521.
So move.
Leslie.
I'll second.
Gwen, second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Not opposed? Okay, transportation resolution 5311-8520. We have a motion for that one.
I'll make a motion.
Arnold makes a motion.
I'll second.
Gail seconds it. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
So we move on to number 10, bus disposal approval.
All right.
Want to talk about that?
So we've got one bus. It's one of our medium-sized buses. The lift hasn't worked in it since I came on board, so it's been 5 years. We have always used it as kind of an extra bus when we could, we've always kind of used it as an extra bus when we could, if we knew we didn't have, you know, wheelchair needs. We could use it for that. But since we kind of cut down our bus program as much, we typically are only taking out one bus. And this one's it's getting old. It's over 100,000. I think it's got 151,000 on it. It's getting rusty, and it's sitting a lot, so therefore it's just getting worse and worse. I really don't see any point in keeping it. It's in the way most of the time. We've got it stored out at Youth and Aid in the field right now because we had to get it out of here. So I think it's time to dispose of it. I think as we look for buses, we need to look at smaller ones that don't require the CDL. We can't get anybody, Lester.
CDL is.
We were lucky in the last round that we got for the bus driver. We had two people with CDLs, but that was it. I mean, and we've advertised ongoing for SUPA, and we didn't know. We just get more.
A few more restrictions when it comes to bus driving.
Yeah.
Is there a passenger limit that you can stay under that you don't have to have a CDL?
We can, but the bus has to be smaller, too, because there's a weight limit and a passenger limit.
The 9-passenger van, you can get away with it.
Yes.
The 9-passenger van?
You've got to have a CDL.
What's that?
Is that what, 9-passenger, you said?
The what?
How many passenger vans?
Nine.
Has to be under?
9-passenger van, you can get away with a regular driver's license.
Okay.
Anything over that. Unless they've changed that rule.
Yeah, and we have right now, we have the big bus, which is, I'm not gonna be able to spell the passenger requirements right now today, but we have a very large bus that is wheelchair accessible, so we still have access to that. We have another medium-sized bus, we have this one, and then we have the small bus. So we have a lot of buses. So I really just see no point in keeping this one.
I would think what they got next door now, three of them?
Yeah.
So if you run into a situation like you explained to use that one for, I'm sure you could get one
and
from over there.
We also work with SOC too, so anytime that SOC's had a down bus or we've had a down bus, we've cooperated if they're not available to. So, and SOC is seeing the same problems. They're going to less and less buses because, again, the same thing, they don't have the CDL drivers. So, I just think it makes sense. The other thing is DOT does want to see some regular turnover. They don't want you keeping these vehicles kind of forever. But we would have to put this one out. We have to sell it. So I'm assuming we put it on, Orchard Manor. I've never done that before, but I think there's an auction site.
You have to put it out for bids?
We do. It either can go, I think, on this auction site or we'd have to put it out for bids. So the other vehicles that we did had enough of a repair bill that I justified we weren't going to get anything out of those, so we're scrapping those because they literally, it was the transmission, the brakes, everything was going on those.
Sheriff's
Department
does the same thing.
Yeah.
They put them off the bids, and they take them to an auction.
So, I will look into that. But right now it's just kind of sitting there, and it's kind of a pain.
Find a parking space for it.
Yeah.
Do you need a motion?
We do.
I'll make a motion that dispose of the bus.
Have a second.
I'll second it.
Lester seconds it. All in favor say aye.
Aye. It'd be sold as is then, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Sure. Opposed? Very none.
Sure. I thought about that about 3 or 4 months ago when they had that big hole on it.
Had big. I didn't know where you were going with that.
Just had
she'd have been on a hall a few more hours.
I can see that by now. Vandals to dispose of, you know, take bus into
the... Yes. Where's the bus? I have no idea.
I can see 50, 60 years from now, somebody dug that hole.
Yeah, I did not know where you were
going. Time cap.
So to ask for clarifications, there's three buses over at Orchard Manor. You can use those on occasion if you need to.
Yeah.
And then
we've got enough buses usually.
Yeah, Southwest Opportunity Center has some if you need to.
Oh, there's big buses, about a 25 passenger.
That's what I think.
Yeah, I think it is.
Pretty close to
Typically don't have a lot of people that like to, like they, a lot of cases they, you know, they've got to sit in two to a seat. A lot of our bus passengers don't really like that.
Because
they're not great big seats. So.
And if that's a handicap one with left in it, you've got quite an open space in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And with the new building, will there be a place to put the buses or vehicles or not?
Well, I'll talk about that with the Transportation Trust Fund.
Oh, okay. Okay, moving on to item number 11, Transportation Trust Fund.
In the 8521 grant, if we have some leftover monies in that grant, those can be put into a transportation trust fund to be used for purchasing future vehicles or maintenance and repair or other things. And we're supposed to have a limit of about 80,000 in there, and they want to plan for it. Well, we are over 80,000. Do you know if we've got it in here? I know we're over 80. I think, I want to say like 91, but I could be off today because it's Monday. So we've been talking about possibly purchasing, again, a smaller vehicle with that. We're kind of debating on that. And then the other thing I did check into, too, was just to see if a shed was built out here, whether we could fund any of that cost out of the transportation trust fund as well. And the answer I got from John was yes. Proportionately, if you were having some of your buses there and it was used for other things, we possibly could. Now, whether we need to or not, I don't know, but it is a possibility that we could use a portion of it for that. So,
we'll take everything we
can. Well, that's kind of what I thought. I do think we will probably look at the possibility, since all our buses are getting up there in miles, and the DOT is, they have a new asset inventory thing, so they're kind of flagging vehicles, and we are going to have a couple more, I think, that are going to be on the cusp of it. So we did put in, I think last year we put into the plan that we may purchase a new vehicle, a smaller human service one that would probably do the 9-passenger. Again, because I just think I think we can get drivers easily for that. The other thing is if that bus goes down, I can drive out there and, you know, one of us can drive it. What happens right now is unless it's the littlest bus, and we've had that happen, we've had to take the littlest bus to go get a big bus and transport people, we just don't have, you know, we don't have anybody else in here that can drive, so it's... It makes it difficult. I'll be calling you too. Did you keep up your CDL?
No.
Nope.
I didn't go.
You haven't got yours
either. I might wash the doors. Not to be too big a hassle.
It is. I mean, it's a problem.
It's terrible.
Do you have any vans?
We do have a van that we use for specialized. And that is for people that need a wheelchair transport, that they're not ambulatory. And we use that specifically for people that need kind of that one-on-one. Maybe a family needs to get somebody out of the nursing home and take them to a funeral or take them to a wedding, graduation, that sort of thing. Occasionally, those are the main things that we use them for. We do transport somebody who's on family care to SOC because the mother is not comfortable, so they pay the full cost of that. But the vans are more expensive. We do charge people $15 an hour plus mileage for those in order to recoup. That doesn't even quite recoup everything, but you know we do a little more expensive. With the buses, the buses are, we have regular routes, so we will do a north route where we pick up Boscobel, Muscadet area down through there. Bring them to, they usually like to get to Platteville at least once a month because Platteville has, you know, a few more stores that they can get to. They like the dollar store, they like the Walmart, they like Aldi's, they like the Pig. We also do usually a route either to Richmond Center or Prairie that way. And then we'll do like a south route, Potosi, Hazel Green, all of there, over to Platteville. And then we do a few special ones. We go to Cassville one day. We go to Lancaster. We go to Dodgeville. And
Dodgeville has a new Dollar Tree. It's very
nice. I know. They will be excited
Dollar
about
Tree.
That. And it's right off by Walmart,
yes.
Which is nice for the
yeah.
which is nice for the bus.
I just
yeah.
went there the other day. It's very nice.
Yeah, typically they like to hit the stores with an Aldi's. And Richland Center, I think we're pulling back from because Richland Center doesn't have anything for a grocery store right now but Walmart.
No.
So, yeah, we try to hit those areas. And then we try to do, like, a special trip about four times a year. So in the fall, they usually we do an orchard trip, and that usually takes at least a couple buses. We do free transportation to Elderfest. We usually do transportation to the senior picnic in Platteville. And then we usually do a lights where they can go see the lights in the park in Dubuque. And then we do, what's the other ones? We do a usually, oh, we did a greenhouse,
greenhouse
one. Yep, we did a greenhouse one in the spring where they could go and get their flowers.
Mm-hmm.
And then we might do another one that it kind of depends. Sometimes we've done like a boat ride on the Mississippi.
Yeah.
Or,
I went on that one
yeah.
a year ago.
It's been
that was a good one.
It's been various ones like that, so we try to do those as well. But yeah, so we do have the money. We've had it for longer than 3 years. DOT wants it spent out, so I'm like, okay, you know, I don't like to buy just to buy. And they haven't been like really on me too much, but since we've been, I put it in a plan now for 2 years that we probably repurchase a bus. I think. We probably will. So I will bring that to you as I get some more
okay.
information on that. But I just kind of wanted your approval to move ahead with that if you think that's what... I mean, really, the plans that we have for the trust fund are basically that you either do some vehicle repairs. And we had some pretty... I think we had $6,000 to one of those buses a couple years ago. So we have taken repair money out of there. But we are sitting with over $80,000, and they do want that spent out. So... I'm thinking if we maybe look at a vehicle and then also possibly look to see whether if we could contribute to that shed, whether we need to contribute to that shed.
Are they talking about building a shed?
They
yeah.
are.
Are they talking?
Okay.
Talking.
Yeah.
Well, at least talking, at least.
Again,
they give us an estimated figure on
it. I don't know whether that's a done deal, but it's being looked at.
Okay.
So. And obviously, you know, the nice thing is it would extend the life of some of our vehicles a little bit. Not sitting out in that weather.
Yes, yeah.
Because it is. It's a hassle.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's a hassle for the bus drivers to
yeah.
get out and
right.
have to
yeah.
shovel out a bus. And, it's not quite as easy to clean off a bus.
I guess I have second thoughts about we or you, the ADRC, putting money into something like that.
Sure.
But basically, it's going to be a county building with social
yes.
services, probably Orchard Manor. You know, if they would all contribute something, money and day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Even look on the emergency management.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they got enough to fill two of them.
Yeah, we got the old lumber yard up down.
Oh, really? Yeah, I don't even know.
I don't say nothing except outside of the old unemployment.
I guess as I get more information on this, I just, you know, rather than, I don't know how long we can keep this money sitting here,
get,
so.
Well, going with this ad hoc committee, that's no doubt.
I just don't, I just don't
want
to.
You might want to start looking at getting a small van just for that one.
Yeah.
You know
what I mean?
Yeah. Although if we bring back the Dodgeville taxi, we will have another van.
Does that have a lift on it?
It does.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I'm kind of like flush with vehicles right now. I'd actually like to see some go down the road.
Alternative funding. There we go.
Did so, I told you about I was going to take the new taxi for a drive. We had a little emergency with a participant, so I was going to go get him. And I'll take the taxi. And I got in. Well, John has showed me since I couldn't find the tilt steering wheel on it. I didn't think it had it because it's very different than mine. But anyway, I couldn't see over the steering wheel, so I literally couldn't see over the steering wheel. So. Like, well, I guess I'll be picking her up in my vehicle because I can't drive this. So I'm going to make sure we have tilt steering wheels and all.
Do you need a motion on this?
I don't know that we need a motion yet, but I just kind of wanted you thinking about it. You know, thinking about that, and right. As we go forward with this, all this information, I will get some information, but we do probably have to do something, at least with a bulk. You know, I think we got to at least whittle it down to a reasonable amount.
What's the average mileage you got on the bus?
I can get that information at the next one. I can tell you. Actually, hang on just a minute. I will have Mariah pull up the mileage, and she can do that real quick.
The big buses and that one food van, they usually rack up some pretty good miles on that.
She will tell you what the mileage is. She can. We list that on all our daily reports. So she
got that much mileage. You might want to think of replacing them a little sooner because that.
Yeah.
Great to trade in value.
The 5310 vehicles were 5310 is a grant that we usually get for our vehicles. And they're getting a little bit, I think they're pulling back on those a little bit. So, yeah, if we can get something out of the trust fund and replace them, it's typically been, I think, 100,000 or 150, but they may have upped it now. I know it was a lot less when I first came than it is now. So. But I don't think it's 200,000. Because that would be a lot for a bus.
If you had less on them, can you get them traded in versus disposing
them? I don't know.
Or?
Just how that works.
We've never had it.
They don't do that, which I think is weird.
Either sold them outright or put them on the off.
Yeah. In Head Start, though, and we got federal money for those buses, and we were allowed to trade those in. But from what I can see with these, that's not been the case.
I never ever thought so much about the buses, but I figured that if you got into a good program, then little handicapped vans would be a market for them, but there wasn't even a market for them.
Yeah, the state does the procurement for these, and I don't understand. Yeah, I'm not sure. So. The big bus has 70,200 miles on it. The bus that we were talking about getting rid of has 152,000. I thought it was right over, a little over 150. So 152,689. Our other medium bus has 131,348, and the smallest bus has 66,738.
The other bus is 130 some thousand miles, you might start looking at replacing that one in kind, maybe, so those are where we're sitting with those.
But yeah, it's, from what I can see, there is no trade in with the state, which I just think is weird. But
well, I can understand it recently. The way you rely on that DOT money, you want to keep on the good side of that.
Exactly. The other thing that was pointed out that I read is they don't allow you, although I think, I don't want to say it's been done. I don't know that it's been done here, but I think it's been done other places because I've seen them, is they don't want you to retain that vehicle as a backup vehicle either, that they want you to get rid of it. So yeah, it just seems odd to me, but you're absolutely right. We want to make sure, and that's why I'm a little concerned with the trust fund. We need to get it.
We need to figure something out.
I'll
so. Bring the card to the Secretary of the Department of Transportation. I can
got it Wednesday night.
So as far as the 5310 grant goes for this year, we won't be looking. That is the grant that typically people purchase vehicles out of, and we're not looking at that. However, I will talk to John about, we still want to get on the state procurement because they obviously get the best prices. So we will look at possibly doing that. But we should have time to do that. So I'll move ahead in talking with him and looking at that process if we think that's the way to go. And then as far as the shed, I think that's got plenty of time to be discussed.
I don't think.
Heck, by the time it comes around, ADRC vehicles might not even be in it. So. Although they better be.
It's been brought up. Ever been on it.
Right. Yeah. It's not. I don't think it's been discussed in any official capacity at all. Right. So.
Okay. Number 12, approval of the vouchers. Everybody have an opportunity to look at those. Any questions on it?
Anything significant on those? I don't think we've got.
Oh, we did have to purchase a new freezer for the Boscoville kitchen because it died, literally. So we literally had to get one right now. And now the Blue River Meal site, I just got word on Friday, their refrigerator is dying. And the cost to repair it is probably going to be about as much as a new refrigerator. So.
Depending on how old it is.
It's no
refrigerator anyway.
It's 7 years old.
Oh, you don't repair that. You just start to do it.
And I'm like, how long do you get for a refrigerator? How long do you, and it's 7 to 10 years is the average life of a refrigerator. And the old ones used to last, I mean, I hate to date myself, but like, you know, there's some from the 1950s still working.
They may not be efficient.
Exactly. They might cost you an arm and a leg. Yeah, and so I just found out about that one, so I did not get that on there. I don't know what your feelings are on that. We can't really go without a refrigerator. I did go look on Friday. They've got four coming in today, so I'm going to... She didn't give me the depth, so I just kind of measured the depth and make sure. So, yeah, and same with the freezer. And the freezer, we've been kind of limping along, and then it just went.
There was a new freezer put in up there not too long ago.
At?
Boscoville. Kitchen, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one I think that was new, yeah. Yeah, we just...
Well, that ain't very...
I don't know how old that one was.
Three up there.
Yeah, there is one here. And that is one, you know, that's a huge, I mean, we do a lot of meals out of that site, and she cooks out of that site, so she's got to have the freezer.
I think they got one big commercial thing.
Yeah. Blue River doesn't, we don't do, you know, there's no cooking on site there, and we don't do that many meals out of there, but you still got to have refrigeration.
No other questions or anything on
so
the
I think
vouchers?
That's probably the only one that I can think of.
Motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve the voucher.
I will make a motion to approve.
I'll second
it. Mr. Mann, second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Financial reports. Any questions in regards to those? Comments? Any other things?
I don't think there's anything too much. We did get word that Patty Wells is going to be retiring. She did give us notice for this year, so that will cost a little more out of our nutrition budget. So, but otherwise, I think we're pretty good. Our specialized transport has been running a little bit higher. However, it's the one we pay $15 an hour for. In the past, that usually we try to even that out, but I have put that into 85-21 because I really hate to charge people more money. I do think we are going to look at the cost per child and make her cost per child. Boy, that came back from my answer base. to make sure that we're billing that right to family care. I do think it's costing more than that, so I'm going to try to figure that cost out so that we can bill the agencies the actual cost. But I hate to raise the cost to private citizens because it would be pretty pricey for anybody to use.
Do we have very many that are using that?
You know, we have just enough, I would say. I can get you the numbers. The main one we have is an agency one that we run regularly. Mm-hmm. But I would say we still probably do probably another 5 or 6 rides sometimes a month.
A month, yeah.
It varies. But I just don't want it to be a cost issue for them. And we can shift some of the money from 85-21 into it, so it's not like it's really costing any more dollars to the county because there's money available in 85-21 for it. So it's just a little less that goes in the trust fund right now, but given the trust fund situation, I think we don't need to be...
Is the family care using quite often?
We've got one participant that's on IRIS that is using it quite often. And that's just a choice that she's making.
But again, you bill for what the actual expenses
are. Yeah, we do. But like I said, I just think I haven't figured out the cost on that one for a while now, so we just need to do that. With the meals, we do it every year, and I think with transportation, we're just going to start doing that every year, too. So.
Any other questions in regards to the financial report? If not, have a motion to approve the financial report.
So moved.
Makes a motion to approve it. Second?
I'll second.
Dale, second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Reports?
Director's report. We do not have a program report because we're still in July, so we did not provide. So the next one we will provide you. We're trying to figure out how we're going to do program reports with the every other month sort of thing. So we're trying to maybe give you a report that maybe will show the current month and then a year to date so you can get a better feel for when you're off a month. Obviously, Angela was a major thing that happened over in the last month. Farmers market vouchers, for those, if you're talking to people out there, the farmers market vouchers are still available for people until the end of September. And they can be used at the orchards. So people who qualify, there is some financial eligibility, but they can get $25 in vouchers to be used at a farmers market or the orchard. So it's a good deal. Talked about dementia friendly. The big thing is working on completing the aging plan that was sent in probably a couple weeks ago. Waiting to hear back on that so we can schedule a public hearing for that. Normally I have the public hearing with Unified and Social Services, but because of GWAR's new thing where they wanted the draft plan sent in, then they'll look at it, send it back, then do the public hearing. We'll have to do ours separately. So somebody will have to sit through a couple of those. Dale sat through one the other night. So we're working on that. July is crazy busy because I've got transportation reports all due, aging plan was due, and the first draft of the budget was due last week as well. So we did work on the first draft of the budget. We went to the first budget workshop. We're short a lot of money.
Yes.
I think it was somewhere in the 900,000 range, maybe a little more than that. It was a lot. So I'm sure we will be coming back to, well, that's with Sheriff's Department stuff. That's the whole county. That's not my budget.
I'm trying to figure that one out. With a top figure for the whole county.
Yes.
A
lot of things on there that will, I'm sure, have to be figured out. But so we will be, I'm quite sure, having lots of drafts of that budget as we try to figure out what we can look at and what we can cut. We don't have insurance figures yet. We don't have the admin figures yet. We did start putting admin costs into all of our accounts, so in order to get a little bit, recoup a little bit of money back for the ones that we can. So yeah, we're taking a look at that. I do think we may have to make some tough decisions though in the future, just because of the fact that it is, you know, the budgets are tightening up. There isn't a lot of availability, and we, as far as the county goes, have a lot of dining sites that probably more so than a lot of other counties. So whether all of those need to run 5 days a week, I think those are tough decisions, but we will have to look at some of that because there is some expense there. So I am working on that a little bit so I can bring you something and try to look at an average cost per dining site so that you can kind of see what that looks like.
Don't we change the subject to talk about dining sites? How are your mail order meals going?
What did you guys, that's a good point. What did you guys think of them? We haven't...
Wasn't as good as what they get at the meal
exactly.
site, but it's working.
Exactly.
It's better than nothing.
Yeah.
Kids are not getting
it.
Better
than a
fine for. We, Ruth is still in touch with the state because we want to make sure that it's going to pass all of their things. But I do think, I don't think we got really other too many other choices for those people that are really isolated.
So. I looked at them MREs too, and they left indefinitely. They did not work.
The only thing I was concerned about was the ability to open them. Yeah. I worried about that a little bit.
Sharp knife.
I know. I get cut a lot with sharp knives. So.
Well, then there's all the packaging too, right?
Yeah. Yes. The packaging wasn't as bad as I thought, though. The packaging has gotten better. It used to be. I mean, it's still not light, but... Again,
we're disposing of it though. Like we have the cardboard boxes that you get down in styrofoam and disposing of that.
I mean, people don't. I mean, it's an option to offer people in those if they don't think they can do that. Then you know, there just isn't a great deal of options out there. You know, and typically the people, it's going to be those home delivered ones or people who are homebound. So. Not like we can send them somewhere else to get meals.
Well, or, you know, you get, I'll take example of Woodfin area, Millville area. I mean, my God, it'd take you all day.
Yeah,
to,
and we
to
have,
deliver.
And just think of this county and all of those little pockets we've got around here.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just so many of them. It's just craziness.
Yeah.
So,
almost impossible.
Yeah. Really is. So yeah, it's gonna be. I did check into Eckstein Grants again. For those of you that have been here for several years, you know my hesitation in checking into an Eckstein grant because we had a heck of a time spending the one that didn't have anything to do with me. But we got it spent. But I did look into it because we are looking at a new vehicle for the nutrition program. Our red van is kind of deteriorating fast. That red van doesn't have any front-wheel drive to it, so it's bare in the winter. I just worry about it. So we are looking at possibly replacing that. I did write it into my budget, but also took it out as carryover. Because we do have some carryover right now, and I'll talk about that in just a second, too. But I did look at the possibility of asking them for a van. They might be willing. I will look at that a little bit further. I think we've got till October or December, depending on their deadlines, so I will bring that back to you. The other thing I thought we might be able to get them to do is if they would sponsor, say, the Casco site, since they have a connection to Casco. But I did read in the grant that they're really not looking to fund anything that's an ongoing type thing, an operational thing that would be multi-year. But they did say there were some exceptions to that. So I will take a look at that. I kind of feel like we burnt our bridge with that $100,000 grant, though, without a plan for that. And having to get that spent out quickly, which we did, and we did to their satisfaction, I believe. But I just felt like it left a bad taste in their mouth, and it certainly made me uncomfortable. I'll be honest with you, I did not like that. We got a grant that I'm not even sure when the grant was obtained, but there wasn't didn't really have a plan for it, and it got kind of muddied up, and then they came to, and I became the director, and then they came and said, we need this spent out, and it was like, oh my gosh, so we had to come up with a plan, and we did some great things. We did some free meals in March, but it was a little tricky to maneuver with them, and so I've been hesitant to ask them for more money, but now I need money, so. The other thing that is happening within the county budgets is ADRC has always had a carryover account, and I don't know how that's originated or how that comes about, but when I came on board 5 years ago, I was surprised to find that we had a carryover account, because that's just not how, in the past that we've had things happen. So we have quite a bit of money in the carryover account. I think probably to the tune of, I don't know where we're at right now, but I think it's probably $600,000. It was like $500,000 when I came, and we've added to it a little bit. The carryover account has been, so if you save money within your budget period, that money just went into this carryover account. So the carryover account is still county money. It's just been somewhat assigned to us over the years. In all 5 years that I think that I've been here, we've always put in some carryover account into the ongoing budget to keep the county levy funding stable and not having to increase county levy to the ongoing budget. But now they're looking at a carryover policy. I don't think it's been approved yet. I think it's going. Going to maybe a committee in the future to unassign that to us and use it for general carryover. So it affects social services and us. Then there's Nancy did a training, and there's like three business accounts, which is the highway, Orchard Manor, and I think the farm account was thrown in there. That work a little bit differently for carryover. But essentially, I think with social services, the way it's being looked at and written is they would maybe be able to retain about $200,000 because they have placements that they have to do that could come up within a year, but I think ours would be gone. Now, I get that. On the other hand, we've been using a small portion of that to kind of keep our costs down. So once that's gone, I don't have that. It's going to look like I'm coming in with a lot higher budget, but it's only been because I've been able to use that carryover. So I don't know how that's going to play out. But just so that you're aware of that, we're just not going to have that as a
base. That figure you give, does that include that DOT money?
No, the trust fund is protected. Trust fund is a protected money.
On the other side of it, we had quite a deal here, I'm going to say 10, 12 years ago, about our carryover fund out here. And we went through, was audited. We got, I guess, kind of ongoing opinion. And our auditor told us that, and I don't know if it's by statute or how it works, but he said that we should have enough carryover to cover at least 3 months of operation.
Right, which is pretty standard for